My name's Ali Stunt. I'm the founder and chief executive of Pancreatic Cancer Action, and I'm also a 6-year pancreatic cancer survivor. Yes, of course. I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in August 2007 at the age of 41. And until my diagnosis, I hadn't actually heard of pancreatic cancer. I don't know where I was, but I hadn't heard of it. And I certainly didn't know that it was such a dreadful disease. I was diagnosed because I persistently went back and forth to the GP with symptoms. And my symptoms were back pain, upper back pain, that is in the area of sort of where the lady's bra strap is, and that was radiating round to the front. I had pain on eating. I also had change in bowel habits, some sort of intermittent diarrhea and some sort of pale and smelly stools that didn't flush away. And I also had unexplained weight loss. So I lost weight without trying, and indigestion type symptoms. And my doctors put it down to all sorts of things like indigestion, like irritable bowel syndrome. And then ultimately, as the pain was getting more intense, gallstones were suspected. Absolutely. The classic symptoms for pancreatic cancer tend to be upper abdominal pain. So you've got the pain that's sort of just underneath your ribs, slightly to the right in some cases, and sometimes that can radiate round to the back. Some patients will actually get jaundiced, and by that you see yellowing of the skin and the whites of the eyes, and some patients with jaundice actually get very, very itchy skin. I've mentioned pain and eating because I had that, and the unexplained weight loss, which is very significant for pancreatic cancer. The upper back pain, as I mentioned before, indigestion. Now, thousands of us get indigestion all the time. So not to alarm people, but if people have been to their doctor with indigestion and have been prescribed a medicine that to treat it, and it's still not going away, then they need to go back to their doctor so that can be investigated. A lot of patients will find that they get very fatigued. Some will have low mood or depression. And some patients who are newly diagnosed with type 2 diabetes that's not associated with weight gain, and it's not something to do with their family history or anything, possibly need to be checked out, especially if they're presenting with other symptoms. Well, a lot of, as you probably heard that list of symptoms, a lot of those symptoms can actually be confused with other very, very sort of benign diseases. And a lot of people will dismiss symptoms. For example, we did a survey on a website of 184 patients, and 50% of them actually told us that their GP initially dismissed their symptoms as nothing to worry about. But it's also patients dismissing their own symptoms, because 60% of patients said that they too dismissed their own symptoms as being nothing to worry about. So I think what we need to do in terms of getting earlier diagnosis, certainly in the absence of any straightforward sort of blood test or urine test or anything like that that can diagnose it quickly, is to look at what is normal for you. So if you've got symptoms that are not normal for you and they're persisting and they're perhaps getting worse, then you should go to your GP. If you've been to your GP already with symptoms and they're still not going away and perhaps getting worse, then go back and keep going back until you get to the root cause of what's troubling you. Well, the pancreas, not many people actually know where their pancreas is. We did a survey last year which actually showed that 87% of people in the UK couldn't locate the pancreas in their body. So it is a gland that is about 6 inches long, and it's shaped a bit like a pear lying on its side. And it lies in a very deep location in the body behind the stomach and in front of the spine. And because it's sort of nestled there, we don't really think about it terribly much, but it's a very, very important organ. It actually produces digestive enzymes to help us break down our food. And it also provides hormones such as insulin and glucagon that can control blood sugars, and which helps the body use and store the energy that it gets from food. Well, not many people know exactly what causes pancreatic cancer. There are some what we call environmental risks for the disease, and smoking is definitely one. And about 29% of all cases in the UK are attributable to smoking. So it's very important to stop, because the research shows that people who stop smoking actually do reduce their risk over time. Other influences to risk are also obesity, and obviously us getting older, age is another risk factor. Some people think that diabetes might be a risk factor for pancreatic cancer. We're not entirely sure whether the diabetes is as a result of the pancreatic cancer being there in the first place, or whether the diabetes causes the pancreatic cancer. But I think the scientists are now coming to the conclusion mostly that it's probably the pancreas cancer that's causing the diabetes. Some very small number of cases are hereditary. So about 5% of cases are hereditary. So if you've got a first-line relative, more than one, first-line relative, mother, father, brother or sister, who has had pancreatic cancer, then you increase your risk by 50% over the normal population. Well, I think the lack of research into pancreatic cancer means there's not a lot of weapons in the arsenal. The main curative option for patients is surgery. And in fact, that is the only curative option. So if we get people diagnosed in time for surgery, their chances of surviving 5 years increases tenfold. For those patients who are not able to have surgery and they've perhaps got disease that's spread to other organs, chemotherapy is an option. And there are a few more agents coming onto the market that are helping pancreatic cancer patients survive a little bit longer. There's some combinations of chemotherapy drugs in particular. Very rarely, patients will be given what's called chemoradiotherapy, where they will have a little pump with chemotherapy at the same time as having radiotherapy. But we really need a lot more funding and research into pancreatic cancer so we can get a few more novel therapies, because sadly, a lot of people just do not respond to the chemotherapy that's currently available for them. Well, I think historically pancreatic cancer's got a bit of an image problem. Well, I think now it's got a bit of an image problem. It's one of those very hard to deal with cancers, and it's almost sort of been pushed to one side in terms of, oh, that's a bit difficult. The other thing is there haven't been really enough, awareness about the disease. So there aren't enough advocates, people such as myself who are surviving the disease, to actually stand up and shout about it, as there has been so brilliantly in the breast cancer movement and the prostate cancer movement, and also in the ovarian cancer movement as well. So we need more people to get behind us and to help spread awareness of this disease, awareness of the signs and symptoms, and also to challenge government and other funding bodies to try and increase the amount of money that is actually spent on pancreatic cancer research. We've got a very comprehensive website which gives information about the disease and also about the various treatment options available for patients. And also it shows, if you want to get involved with awareness or to fundraise, there's a big section on there too. So if you go to www.pancreaticcanceraction.org.